So before we get started tonight, I want to take a moment. I want to just look back, right? And so if you were not with us last week, we kicked off a new series called Made New. And I'll be honest, the vibe's a little bit different, right? I had a lot of people say, you know, you preach low, right? Energy low, right? Because it's not one of those hard-hitting, I'm not being real aggressive in it. And tonight's going to be kind of the same way. So you guys will have to bear with me. I'll be honest, it's harder on me than it is you for that, right? Because I'm cracked out all the time. And so for me to not be cracked out up here is a big deal. But it's Made New. We're preaching through Ephesians, right? And you're like, oh, whole book of the Bible, we're going to be here all year. No. We've only actually got 6 more weeks because Ephesians is only 6 chapters, and I'm encouraging you to read along. So last week, we went through all of chapter 1, right? All of it, chapter 1. And so tonight, we're going to be in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, and then next week, we'll finish chapter 2, and then it'll be chapter 3, chapter 4, chapter 5, chapter 6. Now, if you want to be prepared, right, and I encourage you to be prepared, read ahead so you know, right, for next week that you can start at verse 11 and read through chapter 2, and it's not that much. It'll take you just a little bit of time, and then you'll be prepared for next week as well. But we're going to continue this series tonight. But last week, we kicked it off with this unshakable truth. You are not who you used to be. You're not who you used to be. Before the wreckage, before the relapse, before the shame, before all of like the sin and the mess and the brokenness, right, God chose you. That's what we talked about. Before the foundations of the earth were laid, God chose you and selected you before the brokenness. What an incredible thing, because that just helps us to know and to understand that it's not based off of our merit, right? The neighborhood, the family we're a part of, or any of that. It's all based off of God's love. So God chose you. He didn't just forgive you either, right? We talked about this. He adopted us. We're a part of God's family. And as we're adopted into his family, right? We're not unwanted stepchildren, right? That God's just putting up with. No, we have all the rights of the family, right? God's family, seated at the table with him, right? God chose us and he sealed us. And we talked about that. That's his Holy Spirit, right? In New Covenant, New Testament, after Jesus' death, burial, resurrection, which we celebrated and recognized yesterday on Easter Sunday, God gives believers, Christians, followers of the way, his Holy Spirit, right? We're now indwelt. When we become believers, when we believe in our heart, confess with our mouth, and make Jesus Lord, his Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. We're no longer alone ever, right? And we're sealed. The word says, right? The Bible says that it's actually evidence that we've been saved, right? God's Holy Spirit on the inside of us. And so again, we're forgiven, we're adopted, we're sealed, and you're not fighting for identity anymore. And that is so, so, so important, because the thing that the enemy wants to disrupt in your life is who you are and what you were created to be and what you were created to do. We see this all the way from the Garden of Eden, right? And we see it when Jesus is tempted, and just time and time again, the thing that the enemy wants to do, right? The devil at work is to disrupt our identity, because if you don't know who you are, you lose sight of your purpose. And so God gives us this identity, and that's what we're fighting from. We're fighting from our identity. We're fighting with the rights that God's given us as his children, right? Backed by the kingdom of God, sealed by his Holy Spirit, not only sealed by it, but in empowered with it to do what he's called us to do, right? That's a profound shift from many of the things, the lies that we've bought into as we kind of step into faith and recovery and all of this, right? I know for me, right, my identity was so broken and shattered from the world, right? I didn't grow up in the church or as a believer. My identity was based off of the neighborhood I was from, which was nothing to be proud of, right? And I'm just poor white trash from poor white trash family, right? And these things became my identity. But as I realized that God had chosen me before the foundations of the earth were laid, right, and selected me, and I'm now his child, that begins to shift everything. And so that's what we looked at, right, how it changes everything. And so you're not fighting for your identity anymore. You're fighting from it. And so if you missed last week, get out. Now, go back and watch it. Go back and watch it on Facebook, on YouTube, right? And I encourage you, right? Because this is the first time we've done a book study like this at Recovery. And so I encourage you, go back and listen to it. And if you've already heard it and listened to it, I encourage you, go back and share that too, because there's a lot of people. There's a lot of people that need to know that, hear that, and keep that truth within their heart. And so, but here's the problem, right? So he's like, there's a problem? There's always a problem, right? Because we're broken people. And many of us are stupid, myself included, right? I'm pretty dense. And I have to hear things a lot. And I've got to really put this in practice. And here's the truth of the matter. Next week, I kind of forget what I did this week. And so the problem is, even as we know these things and we latch onto this truth, most of us are still trying to fix what God has already crucified, what God has already killed and dealt with, right? We spend so much time in the past that we're not really working on the present, right? And moving towards the future that God has for us, because we're dragging dead bodies with us, right? And all this baggage, and we spend so much time in it. That was my problem. For so long, I could not shake the old identity, right? I would read things like, the old man's dead, right? I'm made alive. And I'd be like, yeah, but. And so we spend all this time trying to fix what God has already crucified. We've got the language of grace, right? And we talk about it, the grace and the mercy and the forgiveness of God. And it's so good. And we raise our hands, man, praise God for being good, right? And God is good all the time. And we repeat these things. But again, we are still living like orphans. Not like we've been adopted into the family of the Creator God. Like we've got to earn this thing. Grace is not that cheap, right? Grace is sufficient. And we don't have to earn it. God's dealt with these things. We don't have to go backwards and then be good enough, right? We move forward in what he's done. And so tonight, we're going to go deeper into this letter, right? This letter that Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus. And we're going to keep pressing this thing, because the truth is, you weren't just broken. You weren't just struggling. You weren't just going through it. You were dead. You were dead. Scripture tells us that we were dead. And we're going to unpack this tonight and hopefully, again, shift some stuff in us. But we were spiritually lifeless, disconnected from God, numb to the truth. And no amount of self-help, willpower, or white-knuckling our way through recovery, right, or faith or this walk can change that, right? And so there's nothing to go back to, right? Again, it is literally like we're going back to a corpse, and we don't want to do that. We want to move forward in life. And so God changed all of this. God didn't send Jesus to improve your life. And you may be like, no, I heard that TV evangelist. He said that, right? That it was about me, that it was about making my life better. No, God didn't send Jesus to improve your life. He came to raise it. There's a difference there. There was nothing about your old life worth moving forward in. And that may kind of shake you up a little bit. I'm like, no, but I had a great cat, you know? But no. Nothing there for you. God didn't come to give you a better life. He came to raise it, to resurrect it, because we were dead in it. And this message isn't about a better version of the old you. I'm not a better version of the old me. Scripturally speaking, I am a new creation. That's the language that God uses. And sometimes we try to hold on to the old so much that we're trying to mold and shape that into what God's called us to be. But no. That was a dead thing. And now we're an alive thing, right? This is gone and done with. Finito, right? And we're going to walk in the newness of what God's given us. And we can't carry that with us. And so God, again, he came to raise our lives, not make a better version of the old you. This is about resurrection. This is about from death to life. God has raised us from death and brought us to life. And the title of tonight's message is that, death to life. And what I want to talk about is where we're at, what God did, and where we should be headed in this, right? And this concept of being raised from the dead and brought to new life. And so I want to ask you guys something personal. Have you ever tried to fix your life, but you end up right in the same old mess, right? Yeah, I mean, it's like, same. The reason is we're still going back and messing with the things that we should be done with, right? And so we've got to have that acknowledgement that was already dead and done. And God has just crucified that even more. And we walk in this newness, right? And maybe you got clean for a while. Maybe you showed up to church. Maybe you started that reading plan. How many of you started a reading plan at the beginning of the year? You're going to read the whole Bible? You guys didn't even try. Good night, man. So everybody got their hand down. That's part of the problem right there. You didn't even attempt. How many of you already failed that reading plan? Why are there more hands up now? I don't know if you guys know how this works. Man, what a failure of our education system. Man, you guys you're making the examples hard here. Man, I feel like I'm dealing with my children. No, but that's what we do, right? And so we start these things, but we get off track. And so maybe you did that. Maybe you showed up to church, though. You read the book, you prayed the prayer, but you still end up in the same cycles, right? Maybe this is the fifth year. I'm going to read it this year. I'm going to finish. But you didn't. Maybe you're still empty. Maybe you're still hurting. Maybe you're still wondering why I can't get it right. You're like, man, I left last week on fire. But Monday night hit, and I went home to what I always go home to. And Pastor Aaron, you just don't know what that's like. And I went right back to the anger and the frustration. I had to get up Tuesday morning and my job, it's something else. And we've stepped back into that failure. And here we are a week later and you're back in the room again, but you feel like you're back at square one, right? It just didn't last. The message didn't carry me through. So how do we deal with that? How do we break that cycle and begin to make real ground? So maybe you're still empty, still hurting, still wondering why you can't get it right. That's because the problem isn't your effort, it's our nature. And what I'm talking about there is sin nature, right? Our flesh, this desire that we have to understand has been put to death. And so maybe it's your nature. Ephesians 2 doesn't say we're damaged, it says we're dead. You can't fix dead. You can't rehab dead. Dead doesn't need a second chance. Dead needs a miracle, right? It needs the miraculous move of God to change, to bring it to life. And so this message isn't about behavior change. If you guys have been coming here for very much time, you know I don't really do behavior change, right? I do submission to God, and that we submit our lives to him in every way. And so this isn't about behavior change. This is about spiritual resurrection. This is about from death to life. And so tonight, I want you to open up your Bibles again. We're going through Ephesians. We're in Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 1. And so just a reminder again, this is a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote, and he wrote it to the church of Ephesus. Unlike many of his letters, this is not dealing with sin in the church. This is encouraging them. It was meant to anchor them in their identity and in their purpose, because without knowing who we are, we'll never live the life that God's called and created us to. And so if you don't have your Bible, we have the Notes on YouVersion Bible app. You can go to the events tab, go there. Then we have devotionals. We handed out paper copies. We have digital copies on there as well. So we're in Ephesians chapter 2. So chapter 1, if you weren't here, it's a powerful declaration of identity, blessing, purpose for those belonging to Christ. And Paul opens reminding us that before the world began, God chose us, loved us, adopted us into his family, not because we earned it, but because of his grace. And then through Jesus, we're redeemed, we're forgiven, we're sealed with the Holy Spirit and guarantee our inheritance. And then Paul, after that, and we didn't go over this last week, that last section is just a prayer that Paul has. And you should go back and read that. Pray it over your life. But Paul then prays that we would truly understand the hope we've been called to, the riches of God's inheritance in us, and the incredible power that raised Christ from the dead, and how that same power is at work in us. And so that's the shortened version of Ephesians chapter 1. But honestly, just reading through the chapter is not that much. So now we're in chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 1 opens up this way. Once you were dead. Now, who is he talking to? He's talking to the believers in the church in Ephesus, but he's really talking to believers everywhere. And I wanna say this clearly. He's talking to believers, because unbelievers, they're still dead. Believers were once dead. We were all once dead. And those of us who maybe haven't submitted our lives to Christ, you're still dead. But he says this: once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins. Scripture is clear, right? all have sinned, all fall short of the glorious standard of God, right? We're all dead in our trespasses. And Romans chapter 5 tells us that sin entered the world through one man, which was Adam, right? And so we all have this sin nature. We're all disobedient. Nobody has to teach us to be dirtbags, right? Anybody got toddlers in here, right? We know if you've ever raised a toddler, you know nobody has to teach you to be cruel, to be selfish, to be mean. Nobody has to do that. And even if you go back to those precious little babies, they don't give a crap about you, right? They'll wake you up at 3 o'clock in the morning. Even if you got to be at work at 4:30, they don't care, right? They're selfish. Me, mine. And so there's this nature in all of us, right? That's all about us, all about us. What can you do for me? And Paul's saying, hey, once you were dead because of this, right? This is in all of us, the sin nature, all of disobedience, all of sin, all live this way. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, period. Thankfully, not the end of the story. And so we were dead. I wanna get real. Before we talk about grace, and I know my wife said, hey, stop beating the trash out of everybody from the stage for just a little bit. We've got to start here. Because without knowing this, grace doesn't look very good. The mercy and forgiveness of God, it doesn't hit the same if you have convinced yourself just for a moment that you might be able to earn it, or maybe that you deserved it. And the truth of the matter is, no one deserved what God has done for us. Not one. Not one needs Christ and his mercy and his forgiveness any less than the next person. All of us, every person, from Adam on, is in desperate need of the love, the grace, the mercy, and forgiveness of God. And the thing that we do is we convince ourselves that some sins are worse than the others, right? We put these things on levels. Well, at least I didn't do that. No. In God's eyes, we are all equally in need of what he has to offer. We are all on the same exact level playing field, all lost without him, all dead in sin because of our disobedience. Paul doesn't sugarcoat this in Ephesians 2. He doesn't say we're struggling. He doesn't say we're lost. He doesn't say we're trying to find our way, just figure out who we are in this big, big bad world. No, dead. We were dead. No hope. No hope for dead things. There's no future there. Dead. We were dead because of this disobedience, this sins, completely cut off from the life of God. Stuck in sin, numb to the truth, unable to save ourselves. This wasn't a bad season or a rough patch. And that's what we kind of convince ourselves of, right? I had a rough go the first 30 years. No. You were dead in your sins and trespasses, right? That you were dead in it. This wasn't a bad season or rough patch. This was spiritual death. And if we don't understand how dead we were, again, we'll never fully grasp how alive grace can make us. He goes on, he said, you used to live in sin, just like the rest of the world. Now, notice how he said you used to. Some of us, we raise our hand, we commit in our heart, and then we just keep living the same way, right? You're spitting in God's face, right, on that. And you need to deal with that in your own life, because it should be you used to live that way. And that's what he's saying to the church in Ephesus. You used to live that way, just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. He is the spirit at work in the hearts of those who refuse to obey God. All of us used to live that way. Again, who? All. Now, I'm no theologian, but if you go back to the original text, all there, you guys know what it means? Everyone. Everyone, no one's excluded in this. All of us used to live this way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. By our very nature, we were subject to God's anger, just like everyone else. And so Paul reveals in Ephesians 2, we're all dead in sin. We're all dead in sin. Some of us still are, but we all were at one point. And to be dead in sin means we're completely cut off from the life of God. Now, I've never really done this, but I got a graph thing. I made this. I'm going to pull that up for us. Dead in sin. So dead in freedom, right? We have no freedom to choose. We were enslaved. God's word tells us that we were slaves to sin. If you read through Romans chapter 6, it begins to explain this, right? And if you struggled in addiction, these things and these habits you can't break, you know just how true this is. Dead in our freedom, dead in identity. We talked about this last week, right? We didn't know who we are, what we're created to be, until the living God resurrects us, right? With the same resurrection power that raised Christ. Then we're no longer dead in our identity. Then we know who we are. Dead in identity. Dead in desire, right? We struggle in this desire to do what's right and to be able to fulfill and accomplish it according to God's will until we're raised. Dead in sin, dead in response. Unable to fully respond to what the Holy Spirit's trying to do in us when we're dead in it, right? And he says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, once you were dead, once I was dead, and dead things have no hope and no future. To be dead means completely cut off, unable to understand the truth, desire what's right or respond to his love. Our minds were darkened, our desires distorted, and our hearts numb. And we weren't just messed up, we were enslaved, stuck in cycles we couldn't break, living with an identity shaped by the shame instead of God's truth. Spiritual death, it means separation. Separation from God, not just bad behavior, but the good news, and there's good news, there's great news, there's the best news. God didn't leave us that way, right? What a horrible story that would be if, like, hey, here's a dead piece of trash, the end. No. But God. You guys like but God moments? I love but God moments. There's been so many in my life, right? But God. I ruined every relationship, and I put distance between every single person that loved and cared about me, but God. I wrecked my opportunity to have a family that I wanted to have, but God. I completely destroyed careers, jobs, wealth, but God. Wrecked my body, wrecked my mind, but God. But God, he shows up. He doesn't leave us there. Our world says we're basically good people who make bad choices, but scripture says the opposite. We're spiritually dead. It's not a motivational poster, I get that, right? But it's the truth. And until we fully embrace and understand that, we will never fully embrace and understand what God has done for us. Romans 6:23, the wages sin is death. Isaiah 59:2, your sins have cut us off from God. We weren't just in need of a second chance. We were in need of resurrection. And the same God who spoke life into the tomb is speaking life over you. What a beautiful thing. Not because he had to, but because he wanted to. We talked about God's love last week. Before the brokenness came after us. To raise dead things. Stop trying to fix what's already been buried. Do away with the old life. Leave it in the past. We have no business there. Stop dragging around what Jesus already nailed to the cross. It's been dealt with. You were dead in sin, but that's not the end of your story. And so let's keep reading. First part of the chapter shows us how lost we were, right? The next part shows us how good God is. And so if you're feeling depressed and you're like, I didn't come here for that, it's okay. Encouragement's coming. Encouragement's coming. So Paul says we weren't just dead. We were obedient to darkness. We lived according to our desires, driven by lies, enslaved by sin. But then come the two most powerful words in scripture. They are my favorite moments. But God, we couldn't climb our way out. We couldn't clean ourselves up. I couldn't fight myself my way out of a wet paper bag, but God, it, rich in mercy, full of love, stepped in. He doesn't just give us a second chance, he gives us new life. Not earned, not deserved, just grace, just resurrection, just Jesus. And so, verse 4, he says, but God is so rich in mercy and loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, even though we didn't deserve it, even though we couldn't earn it, even though he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It's only by God's grace that you've been saved. And that last part's so important because, again, if even for a moment we think that we've played a role, we've cheapened what God has done and what he does. Only by God's grace. And so Paul reveals in Ephesians 2 that God made us alive through Jesus. And that's so important to understand, right? Because then we're done with these things, right? This was dead. This was garbage. Man, we didn't want to stay there anyways. And God shows up so rich in love and mercy and grace, and he makes us alive. God makes us alive through Jesus. You were dead, but God stepped in with mercy, with love, through resurrection, by grace. Now you're alive. I want you to say that. I'm alive. I'm alive. As we become Jesus followers, Christians, right? We submit our lives to him. That's the trade-off, right? We're trading out a corpse for this regenerative spirit made new, one with hope, right? Dead things have no future, no hope. But those of us that have been made alive have it all. Creator God says, I have plan and purpose for you. I have an assignment for you, right? I've seated you with me. You sit at my table now, adopted. But God stepped in with mercy, with love, through resurrection, by grace, and now we're alive. Not barely surviving. When we're barely surviving and struggling, that's because we're trying to hold on to something we should be done with. We should be done with it. And I'm not saying you're not going to struggle. You're going to struggle. But we get to struggle better. We get to struggle different, right? He sealed us with his Holy Spirit. We're indwelled with it. We can struggle with a smile now. Not barely surviving, not partially healed, not better than you were. We are spiritually alive. And that's not a feeling, it's a fact. How do we know? We learned in Ephesians 1. We've been sealed by the blood of Jesus and indwelled with his Holy Spirit. God gave us that as a sign that we would know that he's moved in our lives. We live in a culture obsessed with leveling up. But spiritual resurrection isn't about leveling up. It's about being brought back from the dead. I know outside of the church, that's what I used to feel like, right? There's these like rungs of a ladder. And me being the poor white trash drug addict, and somehow I'm down here, and then there was, you know, like level one Christians, and then, you know, like the guys that wore the suit at the door, and they were like level three or four, and then you had the pastor, man, he's like a level five, like ninja or something, man, Jedi master, and it's like, I don't know if I could ever be the Jedi of the faith here, but am I the only one that thought like that? Surely not. I mean, you guys maybe put different labels on it, you know, because you're more mature than I am, but that was just kind of how I saw it. But the truth of the matter is, there's two kinds of people in this world. There's ones that scripture tells us are children of wrath. They're the ones that are dead. They're children of the world, right? That when we're born into this world, absent of God, we're that. Children of this world, children of wrath, unsaved, hopeless, dead things, spiritually dead. And then there's children of God. Not everyone's a child of God. You're not just naturally born into that. It comes to that recognition. I confess with my mouth, I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord. Bam. We're adopted into his family. Selected, chosen, seated at the table. And we're children of God. There's not levels. There's saved and unsaved. There's followers and people who don't follow. That's it. That's it. And no one who comes in here who submits their life to Jesus is any less than the next person, and no one is even any greater. And so as we come into these things, we got to realize we were dead, and then we're made alive. Not partially healed, not better, but alive. And we live in that culture, so focused with leveling up. But spiritual resurrection isn't about leveling up. It's about being brought back from the dead. And the two most powerful words in scripture, I feel like, are "but God." Is every time you read that, you know he's getting ready to kick the enemy square in the teeth, man, and just show up in a profound way. But God. Stop measuring your walk by performance. Measure it by his mercy. by his grace. Colossians 2:13 tells us, then God made you alive with Christ. God did that. God does that. Didn't have to earn it. When we submit our lives to him, that's what he does. And Titus 3:5 says he saved us, not because of righteous things we've done, but because of his mercy. You didn't save yourself, and thank God, literally thank God, because we couldn't do it. We didn't have to. God made a way where there was no way. You didn't save yourself. God's grace did that. You're not alive today because you tried harder. I tried and I tried and I tried to get my life together. I couldn't do it. I couldn't do it. And anytime today I try to do something on my own, I can't do it. It's always subpar. We're not alive because we tried harder. You're alive because God stepped in when you couldn't. So stop striving, stop performing, and start living like someone who's been raised from the dead, who's been resurrected. Because if but God is a part of your story, like if that's you, you've been resurrected. You've been changed. You've been made alive. But God's so rich in mercy. He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. And it's only by God's grace you have been saved. Let's keep reading. Verse 6, he said this, for he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him. That is amazing to me. I mean, we're talking about the Godhead, the Trinity, right? Son of God here, God in the body, Jesus. And what did God do with us? Not only did he save us by his grace, chose us before the brokenness, all of that. He seated us with him in heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. So God can point to us in all future ages as examples of his incredible wealth of grace and kindness towards us, as shown in all that he's done for us who are united with Christ Jesus. It would have been more than enough if God had forgiven us. We didn't deserve that. Would have been more than enough though, right? If God would just do that. It would have been more than enough if God had raised us, right? Brought us from death to life. But he didn't stop there. He seats us with Christ Jesus. Like indwells us, empowers us, brings us into the family. Gives us an inheritance. God saved you by his grace when you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It's a gift from God. Salvation is not a reward for the good things we've done. So none of us can boast about it. Again, there's no level 5 Master Jedi ninjas in the faith. No, it's just God's gift of grace on us. And he says this. He says, for we are God's masterpiece. Almost every time I teach this, I have everyone say this, and I'm going to do it again. I want you to say, I'm God's masterpiece. What would change in our lives if we woke up every morning with that mindset? We looked in the mirror and just reminded ourselves that God chose us when he didn't have to, made a way when we didn't deserve it, and did this, seated us, where we could look and say, that guy, I'm God's masterpiece. I remember one of the lowest moments of my life. I'd been strung out for I don't even know how long. Walked in the mirror and actually scared the bejeebus out of myself because I didn't even recognize that guy. He was so ate up. That was such a horrible moment. I wept. Man, I flushed stuff down the toilet and just wrecked me here. There's something more powerful that I get to see in the mirror today. The masterpiece that God has made me. Not because I deserve it. Not because I've earned it. Because I'm special. But because God just chose me. We are God's masterpiece. He created us anew. Say, I'm new. created us anew in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. You weren't just saved from something dark. You were saved for something. I'll say that again. You're not just saved from something. You're saved for something. And I think so often what we do is we stop right there, right? That God saved me from whatever this was. No, no, no. That's only half of it. He's purposed us, every single one of us. God saved us for a purpose. You were saved for something divine. You're not a spiritual rehab project. You are God's masterpiece, handcrafted with purpose, on purpose. So if you're still breathing, you're still called. You might be like, man, I've messed up. Yeah, I tried to get my life together, but it didn't work out. No, 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 no. You're still breathing, you're still called. You're still breathing, you're still called. And if you've been raised to life, it's time to start walking in the reason why. Ephesians 2, Paul points out, you were raised to life for a purpose. Maybe you haven't figured out what it is. I can tell you this, it involves serving. I'll tell you that right now. It involves being good to people. Involves loving. You can start there. If you're real confused, real dense like I was, man, just begin doing something. But we were raised to life for a purpose. We treat recovery, we treat a hand raise, we treat pew sitting like that's all there is. Like that's the finish line. Like, God, I sit there every Sunday. No, that's bullcrap. And maybe you're just lazy. I don't know. Like, we need to like activate here. Do something. And we treat this like it's a finish line. Get sober, stay clean, manage behavior. Didn't cuss my wife this week, you know, didn't cuss my kids. Like, no, 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 no. There's more than that. God never intended resurrection to be the end. It's the beginning. That moment, that recognition of what God's done, that's not the destination, it's the doorway. And we step through the doorway, and then we begin living the life that God has called us to, a life that is marked by purpose. Not our purpose, God's purpose. Not our desire, God's desire. It's where we recognize we're not main characters, he is. And we serve him, his will, his plan, his purpose. It's the beginning. You weren't just rescued from something. You were saved for something. You're not a project. You're a purpose-filled masterpiece. I mean, that was one of the most profound things to me. I mean, I know I've talked about this, but this was never where I saw myself doing any of these things. All the things that I do, none of them were on my bingo card. Not a one. But when this became real to me, I had to set aside the things that I wanted, my desires, and I had to live for him. We're saved for a purpose because we're purpose-filled masterpieces. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, anyone who belongs to Christ has become new. A new person, right? Old is gone, the new's begun. Philippians 1:6, he who began a good work, he'll carry it on. So he saves us and then he begins working on us and working on us and working on us. And he'll continue this work till the day Christ Jesus comes back. You weren't raised just to survive. You were raised to shine. You're a living proof of God's grace, not just a recipient of it. Stop settling. Stop settling. God's called you to walk in purpose. Stop spectating. Man, get activated. Invite, encourage. Be the hands and feet of him. Stop settling. God's called you to walk in purpose. You're his masterpiece, and we've got to begin to live like it. I want us to do this. I want us to bow our heads, close our eyes. And again, I know this is a different tone, but I think it's so important that we begin to recognize and hold on to these truths. So in that moment, some things I want to say. Some of you, some of us, we've spent our whole lives trying to patch up what Jesus put in the grave, trying to manage sin instead of surrendering to grace, trying to survive instead of walking in the purpose we were raised for. But tonight, in light of truth, my desire is that the gospel would hit differently. The truth that we didn't deserve it, and there's nothing we did to contribute to it. Because we weren't just lost, we were dead. But God, in his mercy, he didn't leave us there. He raised you, he called you, he seated you. And now he's pointing to you as living proof of what his grace can do. So here's the question. Here's what I want you to rest in. First off, ask yourself, are you living like you're in the tomb still? Are you still living like a dead person? Or have you been walking like you've been resurrected? Tonight, the invitation isn't to try harder. It's to get up. It's to get out of your grave clothes, to stop performing, to start living, to stop surviving and start shining. Because you weren't made to manage your mess. You were made to move in resurrection power. And this is your moment. Not to earn it, not to fake it, but to receive it. From death to life, from shame to calling, from struggle to surrender. God didn't just save you. He sent you. It's time we start to live like it. It's time we start to believe it. It's time we start to walk like we've been raised. Spend a moment with him.